Good morning, Southern Oklahoma. Bryson Colwell here. And we are going to talk to some coaches from around the area. We've got a couple coaches rolling in right now. We're at the Prairie Kitchen. We want to thank Advanced Family Dentistry as well as the Ringling Depot. And Danielle Niebel, Farmers Insurance. So last night I was at the area game of the week, and that was Ringling hosting Dixon for their homecoming. And Ringling ended up coming out on top, 33-13. Some other area games: Sulphur at Davis, 14-50, the final score. Kingston at Atoka, 28-0, the final score. Kingston out on top. Velma and Empire, 34-18. Empire, Velma rather. Frederick and Winniewood, they had to travel to Frederick, 33-20. Bombers won that one. Waurika at Grandfield, 64-0. Waurika on top. Jones, number 9 in the state right now at Paul's Valley. Jones out on top, 42-7. Washington at Purcell, 38-8. The final score there, Washington on top. And Valiant at Tishomingo. Coming up, we'll talk about our specific games with our area, and we'll talk to Coach Mark Barrett about his game last night at Comanche. Coming up on the big station. The big station coming to you from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive in Ardmore. It's a Saturday morning coaches show. And Bryson here. I've got Coach Mark Barrett from the Hilton Bulldogs. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. We had a tough loss last night, so still trying to recuperate a little bit. So
we had a lot of adversity during that game. We were talking a little bit as you were eating your breakfast. And so it was a 9-6 final score in overtime. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you guys met in the first quarter, especially.
Well, we came out and was moving the ball really, really well. Had to punt, but second possession we're moving the ball, and we lost our quarterback. He got on a tackle, slammed, and broke a collarbone. Junior Wade Etter, and which happens to be my son, and that was a big blow to us. But the thing is we've got some talented kids that we can just put the next man up and keep the train rolling, and that's what we did last night when Wade went down, and Colton Picklesheimer came in at quarterback, and then we had to move Austin Perdue from a wide out or a slot to running back, and we moved the ball really well most of the time last night. We just shoot ourselves in the foot and either have a turnover or just couldn't convert on fourth down. So I was pleased with what we did last night under those circumstances, and defensively our kids played really well last night.
So you were without your starting center last night. I believe you said that you had to start a freshman at that position. Tell me about that, because most of your plays are from the shotgun position. So,
yeah, we had our starting center was out of town last night and couldn't make it, so we had to insert a freshman, John Marshall Farrell, who did a really good job last night. I mean, he was anytime you put a young pup in a situation like that, a lot of times they'll freeze up and they get a little nervous, but hey, Johnny Marr, he just came in and played really well, blocked well, and we overcame that adversity and, for the most part was successful, except for the outcome of the game.
So looking ahead to next week, you had Tishomingo, it's homecoming in Hilton. What do the Bulldogs need to do differently as opposed to last weekend?
Well, yeah, we do have the Tishomingo Indians coming to town, and we're going to regroup this week, and we really don't have to change a whole lot. The kids know the system. We'll probably add a few more things that Colton can really help us out on, as far as more quarterback runs and trying to get him out in the open a little bit more. Defensively, the changes that we really don't have to make any changes right now. We'll look at film and see what we need to do over the weekend. But, you know, I'm really proud of the way my defense is playing right now. We've, you know, held everybody out of the end zone. Comanche was just fortunate enough that they had a kicker last night that, you know, he kicked three field goals, and, I mean, he could boot them.
And what was the – I was just about to ask you what the distance was on that last one.
Yeah, I think that last one in overtime was probably, I'm wanting to say, a 45, 47-yarder, and it would have been good from 57. I mean, he had plenty of distance. And, you know, every once in a while a team will come up with someone that can really boot the ball and help you out in those situations, and it paid off for him last night.
Well, I wonder what's in the water over there at Comanche. All right, before we let you go, who's your player of the game last night?
Last night, I would, you know, I don't know. They just all, you know, defense. I'd say the defense was the player of the game. But if I had to, you know, pick one out offensively, I'd say Josh Harvey. You know, he ran the ball hard last night. He scored our touchdown. Had to play a couple of different positions and blocked really well. And, you know, Josh had a good game last night. But, you know, like I said, I'm really, really proud of my defense. Coach Bradbury's done a great job with them, and Coach Phillips has. And, you know, to shut two opponents out, keep them out of the end zone the first two games is really something. And when you have to rely on field goals, well, that's a moral victory for us every time we keep somebody out and they have to settle for a field goal.
Coach, we appreciate you coming and joining us this morning. Good luck next week against Tishomingo, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Okay. We appreciate you guys.
Coming up here in just a minute, we'll talk to Dixon's head coach, Steve Day, after a tough loss and Ringling last night. Coming up on the big station. 7, the big station, live from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive here in Ardmore. It's a Saturday morning coaches show. Bryson here. And we want to thank Sherwin-Williams, the Ringland Depot, Daniel Neumel, Farmers Insurance Agency, as well as Advanced Family Dentistry. We've got head coach of the Dixon Comets, Steve Day, here. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you guys traveled to Ringling last night. Looked really good in the first half all around. Didn't give up a lot of points. I believe you went in to the locker room at halftime down 1 point.
Yeah, that's about where we were at. It was 14-13 and a half, and came out in the third quarter and got the ball on the opening kickoff. And then I think they stopped us on three and out, or might have got a first down. Anyway, we go to punt, and protection broke down, so my punter kind of ran around and got tackled there, and that was kind of the downfall. You know, they score on a short field, but they went up. You know, I think they missed the extra point, so they're still only up 7, I think. So it was still a ball game. And then on our next possession, third down, you know, we run outside and fumble the ball and give them the ball with, you know, 30-something yards again. So that was the reoccurring theme in the second half. So it kind of fell apart there with a couple turnovers and just breakdowns in general.
So you've already got your bye week out of the way. You start the season 0-2. What do you think you guys have to work on this week the most?
Yeah, I think we got to put it together for four quarters now. You know, our 0-week game against Lone Grove was one that you know, we didn't play well from the very beginning. And then, you know, this last night, you know, obviously we put two good quarters together, and really the third quarter wasn't all that bad. We just had the punt and the fumble, and so that's correctable. And then in the fourth quarter, they just laid on us and pushed us around, and we didn't give up. We fought, and it seemed like every possession they had in the second half started on the 30-yard line, their own 30-yard line, our 30-yard line going in. So anyway, I think that we got to put four quarters together. We're getting better. Again, we're starting, you know, maybe one or two seniors on both sides of the ball. I mean, we're super young. So those guys are learning from playing time, and they'll get better. They will.
So tell me about you guys kind of played around with two different quarterbacks last night. Was that a game time decision, or did you guys make that game plan going into it?
No, we did that last year too. The number four, Johnny Smith, he's number four. Yeah, number four, Johnny Smith. He was a freshman last year that had 800-something yards rushing at the quarterback position. And so he's just he's a good talent that we got to find ways to get him on the field and get him the ball. And then Rusty, you know, he's been my guy for 3 years now, so he knows what to do and mostly knows what everyone else should be doing too. So obviously he's our guy. Excuse me, he's our leader. So I got to have him. But like I said, I got to try to find ways to get not only Johnny, but a couple of those other guys the ball more often now.
So you guys are at Medill, coming up two road games in a row. They lost last night to Long Grove in overtime, 22-20. How do you prepare for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're 0-2 as well, so they're going to be hungry for their first win. Obviously, they've had a close game last week, and then, you know, they played a tough Sulphur team 2 weeks ago, too. So they'll be itching, and it's their homecoming, so we'll need to be ready. But, you know, on defense, we have to play assignment football. That flex bone is tough. You know, they don't – you know, they'll take 2-3 yards of play and just hope they pop one, and they will. You know, they will, but we've got to do a good job of staying on our assignments. Offensively, it's the same thing each week, man. We just got to continue to get better and execute and finish plays. We're, like I said, we're getting to our guys, or we're getting to our spots, or we're making the throws, and then we're dropping the pass, or we're you know, throws a little high, or we don't finish the block, or we let a guy loose. You know, it's just little things there at the end of the plays. You know, we got to just be able to finish those plays on offense.
Coach, I appreciate you joining me this morning. Like I said, you guys are at Medill, and then we'll see you next Saturday. And then also, I'll see you. I've got on the area game of the week, we'll see you. You guys are playing in Tishomingo, so we'll see you then. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up here in just a minute, I'll grab Ardmore's head coach, Newby, and we'll talk about their game last night against Durant on the big station. Coming back to you from the Prairie Kitchen, it's a Saturday morning coaches show. I've got head coach Josh Newby of the Ardmore Tigers here. Coach Newby, how you doing this morning, first of all?
Doing good. Thanks for having me this morning.
The breakfast looks good this morning. What are you having this morning?
I'll tell you what, it is good. I've got a little scrambled egg, some toast, some sausage, so it's I'm kind of enjoying it.
A good after-game breakfast. And, I mean, I'm sure nothing tastes better than a victory last night, right?
I'll tell you what, we were needing that. We were needing some confidence, and it was good to see our kids smile. I enjoyed that after the game.
Kept them out of the end zone, but they did kind of get in your end zone a little bit. The 28-2 ball game against Durant. Tell me about let's start at the first half.
Well, in the first half, we came out in some stuff that we'd done last year, you know, in the flex bone and trying to be more physical and get the ball downhill. And I thought the kids did a decent job of it. And, you know, we stuck one in the end zone and ended up being 7-0 at the halftime. But we knew we probably need to spread things out a little bit and get people out of the box and get on with things.
So, and it was 28, or I'm sorry, remind me the score going into the locker room. I was in Ringland trying to keep up, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, it was 7-0 at halftime, and, you know, we had a really good halftime deal. You know, our offense responded to the adjustments, and then defensively, you know, our kids, you know, we got things straightened out, the mistakes we were making, and I was proud of the way the kids come out, after, you know, in the second half with a better attitude, and you know, things aren't easy. You know, in football, you got to earn things.
So you put up 21 points in the second half. I'm going to guess that was a safety that they got to get their only points tonight. You got McAllister at home next week, correct?
We do. You know, they're coming in. They've got a brand-new coach. He's spreading things out, and, you know, he's a very good play caller, I've noticed on film, and we've got our hands full. But we're super excited, and, you know, hopefully we can take that momentum and carry it into next week.
So how do you guys adjust? I know Durant, a fairly okay team. How do you guys adjust for a brand-new coach in McAllister?
Well, you know, we're going to watch the film, and you know, our staff's been together for so long that we've seen about everything anybody can throw at you. So we're just going to do the best we can, get our kids prepared. And you know, our kids got a good attitude right now. They're gritty. It's a gritty group. And you know, we just got to keep plugging along and improving offensively and defensively.
Now, are we a young team right now, or do we got a lot of seniors? Or
no, we're definitely a young team. You know, we replaced 19 of the 22 starters off last year's squad, and everybody's new. But I'll tell you what, I like this group. We don't make excuses. We just get after it, and you know, we're improving. We got a ways to go.
So, with them being a young team, did anybody come out last night and surprise you?
I tell you what, we've got a few young defensive linemen that I've been very proud of. They've gotten their gaps. They've been more physical than I thought they could be, and they're flying around. And then offensively, we've got some young backs I think that are blocking pretty decent, and pretty good little group.
Coach, I appreciate you joining me this morning on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Good luck next week against McAllister, and we'll see you next Saturday morning.
All right, thanks for having me.
Coming up here in just a minute, we'll talk to Ringling head coach Phil Coons on the big station. It's a Saturday morning coaches show coming to you live from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive at Ardmore. Thanks to Sherwin Williams for being a part of this broadcast. Bryson here from the Hilton Tag Agency, Big Ride Home. All right, and I've got Ringling's head coach, Phil Coons. Coach Coons, just asked you if you got any sleep last night. You said no, but are you feeling good after a victory?
Well, it was a lot better to win and not sleep than drive 2,000 miles from Mangum and not sleep after a loss. So, yeah, it's a lot better.
I don't know if I told you this last week, but I lived in Altus this time last year, so I understand your pain on that drive. It's like going to the moon.
Yeah, it seems to be never-ending. You know, fortunately, I got my iPod with me. I've got about 6,000 songs on there and a great 70s pop playlist, and it carried me through.
So 70s pop, now just off the top of your head, what's your favorite artist?
Oh, gosh, man. I'm talking about all kinds of rock and stuff. So any kind of southern rock or, you know, just classic rock. If you put me on the spot to pick one, I'd have to say Boston or Bad Company, but there's so many.
All right, just so we can be on the same page here, when you say 70s pop, I was thinking Donna Summers or something like that, and I was like, man, this guy didn't look like a Donna Summers.
Well, I just didn't want to sound like one of those feminine guys, but I've got Donna Summer, Air Supply, The Carpenters, and Barry Manilow, too. So.
I'm going to go ahead and cut you off there. So let's talk about first half last night. You guys go into the locker room on KICM-TV, up 14-13, just 1 point. You come out in the second half, you capitalize on a couple mistakes by Dixon. What do you think the turning point of that game was?
I think just perseverance, you know, we gave up a big play right before half for a touchdown, and then they had a punt return for a touchdown. Other than that, our defense was playing pretty solid, not letting them sustain drives, and they helped us also in the turnover category with a couple turnovers. So, you know, I got to mention some of my defenders, River Miller at defensive end, Max Stewart, nose guard, Harley Stewart, tackle, Preston Wally at another end. Sophomore Braden Johnson did a good job. Ethan Johnson at Mike linebacker. Cash Lyle at Willie. Colton Fincher did a great job at sophomore corner. Sam Van Buskirk at safety last night. Deshaun Paul at safety and Drake Staple at corner. Those guys were really solid all night.
So in the first half, your son played a lot of snaps at the quarterback position. You come out in the second half, didn't play as many. And then we talked at halftime. You said Dixon didn't surprise you very much that first half, right?
No. I mean, when we were afraid of they're very well coached, and their schemes are really good. You know, they run the zone scheme, the read schemes, and, man, if you're not disciplined and do your job, but you know, sometimes when you're playing new linebackers, which we are, a couple of them, if they read it right, man, they're up the pipe and running. But We really emphasize that our defensive line attack the line of scrimmage and kind of disrupt some blocking schemes. But, Julius started out at quarterback last night, and, you know, he it was time for him to get a few reps. You know, Sam didn't have a great game last week and missed a couple passes we thought he should have caught. But anyway, Ju found out he kind of looked like a sophomore really quick, you know, there for a while, and he does a great job of running the show and finding where we want to audible and things. But you know, I kind of felt in my heart when it was time to put Sam in, and it was effective, and Sam took over from there.
So looking to next week, you're at Marietta. How do you prepare to go in to Love County and face that 0-2 Indian squad?
We don't really look at their record as much as, 0-2 is not a whole lot different than 1-1, you know. And so they've got athletes down there. They always have. You know, we just got to make sure that we continue getting better on their offensive line. Some of those guys I need to mention. Jacob Freeman at an offensive tackle, Jackson Perry at a guard, Preston Waldy at center, Leighton Riley at a guard, Ethan Niebel, he's a center at a tackle for us, and those guys, they're getting better and better every week. There's four of those five guys didn't start last year, so that's kind of what we're dealing with right now, is just trying to find getting those guys to gel, you know, as a unit. And so also last night, Colton Fincher ran a long touchdown for us. We probably need to get him the ball a little bit more. Very athletic at running back. And Cash Lyle really pounded it in there for about 60, 70 yards. And Bo Mitchell sophomore, had a couple touchdowns, very elusive runner, and got some good blocking on the edge by Payson Perkins and Colt Gandy. So had to mention some of those guys. But, yeah, Marietta, it'll be a test, and we haven't really seen them yet, but I know they've got a new coach, so it'll be a new scheme that we're not familiar with.
Coach Phil Coons, we want to thank the Ringling Depot and Daniel Nebel Farmers Insurance Agency. Coach Phil Coons moves in to third all-time among active coaches in Oklahoma, wins, 228. So congratulations on that, and we look forward to seeing you next week against Marietta.
I appreciate that. And
230, I'm sorry. I'm glad you corrected me. I want to give you kudos where it's due.
Not that I'm counting, but my son, that's kind of a deal for him. He likes looking up those kind of things, and he says, I've got 230. When I was at Clinton, they didn't count a couple of my wins. But I got to say hi to Sterling, Tanner, Cooper, Carly, Molly, Julius, and Shelley. That's my family.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Coming up here in just a minute, we'll talk to Price from Plainview after their loss last night at Tuttle, 97.7, the big station. Coming back to you from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive in Ardmore. It's a Saturday morning coach show. Bryson here filling in for Big Raj, some big shoes to fill. And I've got Coach Price from Plainview here. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing okay. You guys traveled to Tuttle last night. Tough game. Came out 35-28. Tuttle on top. Walk me through the first half of this game. Let's start with the first half.
It was pretty electric atmosphere up there. You know, it was really really exciting. We came out and scored first. They kicked Blake now the ball, and we got good field position, and then we were able to throw a long touchdown to Blake. And he had a really unbelievable game last night. I think he had three touchdowns. He ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. So there was a lot of production out of him last night. But we go down and score, and then they ended up scoring, and so we ended up going into halftime 13-14. We got a PAT blocked, and so they were up 13-14 at halftime. Yeah. So
going into the locker room, what exactly was your main focus with the guys on changing in the second half?
We talked a little, things were going okay. We were moving the ball, hadn't scored like we'd like to. I think the big thing for us was we just kind of talked about, hey, we got to take care of the little things, make sure, we don't have any alignment assignment errors, wrap up tackling, those kind of things that you, when you're in a close ball game, the things that you've just got to do right so you don't have problems,
So what do you think was the turning point in the game for you guys last night?
Turning point.
Well, or I guess vice versa, the turning point for Tuttle.
We didn't have a great productive third quarter. They got out on us a little bit more. And they had a drive where to go up to 35 where they converted on, I believe it was two fourth down conversions in that drive. And that's one of those deals, you got to tackle guys when they're there. You got to make sure you get those stops on those down and distance situations. When you have an opportunity to tackle somebody, you got to make sure we get them down so we can get the ball back. It was a great game. I mean, it was back and forth the whole night. They got out on us a little bit there in the third quarter. They scored three times there in the third quarter and kind of got ahead of us, and then we came back and got back into it. Had an opportunity to onside to get the ball back, and then we stopped them after we onsided and got the ball back, and we ended up throwing an interception on the first play after we got the ball back at the very end of the game. We had opportunities to get down the field, and we gave ourselves an opportunity there at the end of the game. When they got way up on us, there was an opportunity to kind of fold up shop, and our kids really battled and played hard, and our effort was great. There were some refereeing issues during the game that didn't help us out, weren't very advantageous.
Is there anything that you want to cover on the coaches, or on the refs' corner this past or this upcoming Thursday?
Well,
I'll give you a piece of paper if you want to write some questions out for some referees on Thursday.
I would like to. I knew the answers, and they didn't.
Isn't that funny? I knew that you were going to know the answers anyway.
Yeah. But it's. I have a hard time sometimes. Really getting on to those guys at points and times. Our game's a little bit in a situation where people have been so hard on those guys for so long that there aren't very many people that want to do it. It's kind of a catch-22. Do we want to keep playing football and having referees out there reffing the games? But they had a couple young guys on there that hadn't ref very much last night, and I don't know if our game last night and that big of implications was the night to have some of those young guys on your crew. There's a guy that was out there kind of looked like he was in training.
So that might be a night to put them down in Class C or something like that, you're saying?
Well, they're just because they had six guys, and most of the time we have five. So, it's kind of one of those deals where maybe that wasn't the night to have that super young guy out there learning what to do, or maybe not give him a flag or something.
Well, if you don't want to answer this question, you can just say no comment. Would you say the referees were better down in Texas last week?
No.
Okay. I'll give you that because, there is a big debate about Oklahoma, OSSAA, and the UIL, so I wanted to get your honest opinion.
There's a little slight differences in rules between Texas and Oklahoma. I think sometimes the way the game is going is allows the refs to not to matter as much, but when you're blowing somebody out, it's not going to be magnified like a situation where you're in a close game. It's just like sometimes when a team's really good, but they've got one guy out there that's you can kind of pick on. And a good team will kind of magnify that guy's error. When you've got one ref out there that, doesn't really know what they're doing real well, sometimes that can get, magnified in a big game situation because they're just like some scared kid out there. What am I going to do? Am I going to throw my flag, not throw my flag? Am I going to do nothing, Then when a coach questions them, they don't know what to say and they don't know what rule to quote to them. And so sometimes I don't envy their job. I don't think it's easy. At the end of the day, those guys are just trying to get out there and really keep the game going. I wish we had better, but sometimes that's what you got to deal with. Would I have not played Tuttleby if I knew that those were going to be my refs? No. The penalties were 13-1 in their favor. I don't know. I don't think that's the reason why we lost the game ultimately.
So 13-1 in their favor. I'm going to go ahead and just cut it off there. How's that sound?
It sounds all right.
No, but for real, how do you prepare for Elgin? Yeah. Is it Elgin?
Yes, sir.
Excuse my non-Oklahoman just a little bit. It's Elgin. So how do you prepare for them next week?
I think our kids, did a lot of really good things in the game on Friday. I think we'll be able to build off those things. Again, it was just our second game of the season. So we've got growth, from execution, alignment, assignment, all those things that we're still going to continue to grow in. I think Elgin's 2-0 right now. They beat a really good or highly ranked Blanchard team. I don't know honestly how good they are, but they were ranked highly in the preseason. I know they've got a really good running back had close to 2,000 yards last year, and so it sounds like they've kind of got things rolling a little bit over there right now. So we're going to have to, you know, get ready to go and prepare and, you know, but again, that's why I like playing these type of teams early in the season. This is prepared for district play. Good competition is never a bad thing. You just hope that nobody gets hurt is the, you know, only thing that scares you a little bit. But, you know, if we don't play good people, I don't know why you play a sport if you're not looking for a challenge.
Coach, good luck next week against Elgin. Thanks for joining me this morning on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, and I hope you get better referees next weekend.
I'm sure we will. It'll be better, I'm sure.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Coming up here on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, we'll talk to Marietta head coach David Garza here on the big station. Come back to you from Saturday Morning Coaches Show, live from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive in Ardmore. Bryson here, usually on the Hilton Tag Agency Big Ride Home, and also do the Southern Oklahoma, Area Game of the Week. And we want to thank everybody for being a part of this broadcast. Sherwin-Williams, the Ringling Depot, Daniel Liebel, Farmers Insurance Agency, and Advanced Family Dentistry, as well as all our coaches for coming out. I know it's definitely difficult to come out and after a long night of it's either you're having to clean up from you hosted a team or you're having to travel home. And speaking of traveling home, we had David Garza. You guys were at Elmore City Purnell last night. Talk me through. First of all, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. Thank you. Can't complain. Saw my children this morning. They're grown-ups and so on. So they came to visit and so had an opportunity to spend a little time with them before everybody went to bed.
So I'm sure that's good. I'm going to guess your kids don't get to see your coach very often.
No, they don't. They don't. You know, have one in San Antonio, another one just south of Lawrence, Kansas. And so just one of those things where it's a long-distance love and relationship between your children and yourself. So.
I'm sure it helps whenever you're on KICM TV and things like that, though, because then they definitely get to watch you play, right?
That's right. You know, they can listen to the playbacks and so on. So, yeah, that's a good deal. It's a good deal to have them.
So you guys are at Elmore City. Elmore City looking really good this year, Coach. I mean, there's no denying that. You guys went out, unfortunately, didn't score any points. It was a 27-0 loss. Talk me through it.
Well, you know, yeah, it's 27-0. They scored 14 really quick, and then, you know, our defense kind of settled down, and we held our own, you know, all the way through, and they scored a little bit late at the game to make it 27. So proud of these kids as far as responding to the scenarios defensively. Now, again, we know offensively we just have to find our identity, and it's a grind. I know these kids can tuck their tails, but they're not tucking their tails. It's just like one of those scenarios where, you know, all of our coaches here that come to this gathering is, you know, what are you going to do if you don't do well in the game and so on? You're going to tuck your tail and not show up. So I'm here to show up to represent Marietta.
Do you think now going 0-2 in season, do you think that trust with those kids has been built up yet?
Yes, it has. It's getting better and better. The fact is trusting each other. Just one of the things we talked about last night, that every kid is a piece of the puzzle. And some of the things that's been going on as far as mistakes is that they stay within their own body and not get outside their body to make sure that the entire system is working. So, you know, call it selfish, you know, call it one of those deals where we're dealing with young kids who want to develop and change, you know, change the culture of becoming one machine, one whole unit. Instead of individual fragments and so on. So that is one of the main focal points that we are working on as coaching staff.
So next week you've got Ringling, who beat Dixon last night 33-13. Coach Phil Coons is number three among active coaches on the win list in all the state of Oklahoma. How do you prepare for Mud Creek to come to your house next week?
Well, you know, the first thing is that, you know, they're human beings as well. Our scheming and game planning is going to be, you know, based on stopping what they do offensively. And then within our offense is to establish something that is going to be consistent. And again, you know, we're dealing with kids that that they need to know that we believe in them. We're you know, going through some ruts right now, but that we'll never stop believing in them and just, you know, just continue to get better every week.
How hungry is your squad for their first win of the season? I got to imagine that that bus ride home from Elmore City was tough last night.
Now, you know what? You know, it's one thing I talked to, and it's kind of off the beaten path here, but years ago I talked to a basketball coach from Oregon, believe it or not, from Oregon State, and she had mentioned something about, you know, losses and so on and how you can react off of losses. But, you know, the bottom line is, yeah, they're a little down, but they're kids. And you know, they have a – and it's a good thing to have is a shorter-term memory than some coaches at the time or at this time. Yes, you know, let it resonate. You know, it needs to hurt, but then just let it go and let's move on to the next game.
So let's turn it to the other side of the table. How hungry is your coaching staff, as well as yourself, for that first win?
Well, you know, right now our coaching staff is you know, again, just trying to help each other, support one another. Don't doubt in your ability as coaches. And again, we have a very, very good open concept as far as our coaching staff, you know, making suggestions and so on. That's the way I like it. I don't want to be the Mr. Domineering. I don't care what you say and so on. So we're going to figure this thing out as a coaching staff.
Coach, I admire you. I appreciate you for coming and talking to me here on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Good luck next Friday night against Ringling, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Yes, sir. Have a blessed weekend, everyone.
All right. Coming up, we will talk to the one of the coaches from Fox. Coach Brent Phelps not here today. So we'll talk to one of their coaches after their loss at Snyder. Coming up here on 97.7, the big station. The big station. It's a Saturday Morning Coaches Show live from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive in Ardmore. And I've got Coach Barnes here from the Fox Foxes. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing great, baby.
Did you get your belly full off this good Prairie Kitchen food?
Every time I come up here, I just climb up in the feed trough and sit down, you know, and just get fat and sassier.
Well, that's good. And we got a really good waitress today, too. So let's talk about this game last night. You guys, first of all, probably, I'll just be honest, you don't have to say it, but I will. One of the worst drives in the world down to Snyder, Oklahoma.
Rocks and rattlesnakes. That's all that's up there.
It's like taking a road to the moon, is what I used to tell people whenever I lived in Altus. You go out there, don't take the drive into consideration whenever you talk about how good Snyder was last year and how good they have the potential to be this year. They made it into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, lost all coaches but their head coach last year. Both of their assistants went on to be head coaches. How did you guys prepare for this Cyclone team?
Well, basically, we're taking these first three games, you know, and we're putting in a new offense, and we're just trying to get better every day, you know, tackling, blocking, all aspects of the game. And we feel like we did that last night. You know, in the first half of the game, we're holding them. They score one time on us, and we're back and forth, and we're going along and playing tough, playing hard, tackling pretty well, being in position, you know. And then we get back on offense, and it's 6-0. Quarterback goes down. You know, and we're looking over at the sidelines, and we got one more quarterback. But when you look over at sidelines, we're running out of personnel because we don't have the numbers, you know, just like any small school. So we get to going back and forth. We're moving the ball a little bit and getting some turnovers on defense. And then our other quarterback goes down. This is all before halftime. And it's still a one-possession game.
So Cyclones, they've been kind of hit or miss this year. Can you I wouldn't say this year, but last year they went undefeated. They made it into the playoffs. How did you guys feel going into that game?
You know, they've got some good players still. They got some big cats too. I mean, their front line had us outweighed by a bunch. But our guys, they bared down, they moved their feet, and they played pretty well. You know, they didn't back down from the fight. And they got a, you know, they got some good running backs. They got one kid that can still roll. You know, last year they had that little 21, and he's a little jitterbug, and he had some speed too. But we contained him pretty well in the first half as well. So,
You have Wilson next week. I saw you over there talking to Coach Ridley. They put up some numbers last night against a Thackerville squad. 52-6 was their score. How do you prepare for Wilson? I believe they're 2-0, 3-0 this year so far.
We just got to get better every day. You know, we just got to take this one day at a time. You know, new offense. We got a lot of new kids, too, that's, you know, hadn't played football in a number of years, or if at all. So, you know, we just take everything one day at a time, get better every day. You know, and these first three games, they're really like preseason games to us. Yeah, we're playing bigger schools, and, you know, they've got a lot of kids and all this and that. But, you know, you just got to get better every day.
So I wanted to talk about our next area game of the week is going to be September the 27th. I've got a little something going on next weekend. I can't be here. And
you ain't gonna tell them.
No, well, you know, I'm getting married. Thanks for yelling that. Yeah, so I didn't want any sympathy or anything. But so let's look ahead at the area game of the week. You got the Tipton Tigers, defending Class C state champions. Of course, we know Travis White and their squad. It's always a tough battle against them. They're 0-2 this year. They lost to Burns Flat Dill City 54-6. Burns Flat Dill City has struggled in recent years. How do you guys prepare for a struggling Tipton Tiger team?
Well, I wouldn't say they're struggling. They're kind of like us. They're playing bigger class teams, and Burns Flat Dill City's not, you know, they're not no joke either. They're pretty good. So you say, you look at these numbers in the school.
By struggling, Tipton, they've lost their quarterback till week six. They've lost their running back till week seven. Does that help you in your favor in any way?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it does, but at the end of the day, you can't treat it like that. You just got to treat it like you're going to get better, and you're going to play a really good Tipton team. They're going to be very well coached, you know, and they're going to have some kids that can play. But at the end of the day, we're just going to just keep doing what we do, trust the process, keep getting better, and just roll out and turn them loose.
Coach, I appreciate you joining me this morning on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We'll see you next Saturday, and good luck next week against Wilson.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And one more thing before you get off. I want to make sure I mention a few kids' names. You know, this is the first time that I've been at Fox for a number of years, and these kids are really playing with some heart, and they're not backing down. We got kids that are playing, you know, they'll get a little banged up, and they don't want to come off the field. But a couple defensive guys I want to give a shout-out to is Blaine Anderson. He played a really good game, and I had another good kid, a younger kid. His name is Bryson Reeves. They really played tough. And then offensive, I just want to give a shout-out to Rashad Fields because, man, he kept getting banged up. They kept calling his touchdowns back, but he kept coming back and was really proud of some of them kids. All of them in general, but those few I just want to mention.
Absolutely. Coach, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Thank you. Coming up here on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, we have one more coach. That's Coach Ridley from the Wilson Eagles coming off their win last night on the big station. It's the Saturday Morning Coaches Show live from the Prairie Kitchen on Holiday Drive in Ardmore. And coaches, and we're down to our last one. And we saved one of the winners, one of the nicest ones for last. That's for darn sure. Coach Ridley from Wilson, you guys had homecoming last night. And first of all, how are you doing this morning?
Man, doing fantastic. Sunshining. Great day to be an Eagle. Just glad to be here. Appreciate you guys' hospitality and the Prairie Kitchen for bringing all the coaches out and giving us a chance to talk about our kids.
How was that breakfast this morning? Was it good?
Man, if you're looking for a great breakfast, you need to come on down to Prairie Kitchen, and it's always phenomenal here.
We also want to thank Sherwin-Williams, Ringland Depot, Daniel Neubel Farmers Insurance Agency, and Advanced Family Dentistry in Wilson, Hilton, and Fox. So, Coach, you guys come out against, I lost it here, Thackerville, a struggling Thackerville team, new head coach this year. You guys come out. It's homecoming. I'm sure it means more to play homecoming than it does any game of the season, right?
Yeah, it's been really neat. You know, being a small school, the homecoming activities throughout the week are off the chain. They have floats and parade and everything like that, which is something that's new to me personally. But a whole week full of excitement. Our community and school did a great job of coming out and supporting the kids, and just a whole lot of activity going on. You know, you always encourage the kids as a coach to stay focused and keep their mind on their business. You know, that homecoming kissing the queen happens at halftime of a football game, so you want to make sure and take care of your business and have the football game end up how you want it to end up. So,
do you see homecoming as maybe some people could see it as a distraction, or you think it's still a good tradition to have around? I was reading an article about this. There was a coach down in Texas that he got there. It was his first year, and he said, no, we're not having homecoming. We'll have homecoming, but we're not having homecoming. We're not doing all the halftime stuff.
When I was a player, our old school coaches back in the ancient times just hated homecoming and blistered us. And when I was a young coach, I kind of emulated that. But as the older I've gotten, I just kind of roll with it, and it's part of the experience. I mean, these kids are only in high school one time, so soak it in, try to make the most of every opportunity, including homecoming, and just still try to compartmentalize everything and make sure that you're taking care of business when you need to take care of it.
Come on, Coach. I mean, you're still a young coach. You look a day over 35, man.
I'm a couple of days over 35, but I appreciate that. But, yeah, you know, the kids did a good job last night. We started out the game, and I think the opening play we ran back for a touchdown. We got called back on holding. Hayden Mantooth had a big night rushing the football. We've had a lot of success in the air the last couple weeks and kind of got our ground game going last night. But, you know, just kind of too many penalties. Thackerville was a little bit outmanned. They only brought 10 or 11 kids over. And Coach McCage, I was trying to be highly complimentary to him. You could really tell that their kids were executing their schemes very well. We're just kind of fortunate right now at Wilson to have some athleticism and talent. And, you know, we took a couple of bad plays and turned them into touchdowns, whereas, you know, their kids were grinding things out and really trying to put sustained drives together and did a good job. But, again, last night it was kind of big play ability of our kids. But, you know, we made a few mistakes that we want to see cleaned up, especially against teams that are going to be more, I hate to say difficult, but, you know, once we get in our district schedule, Warrika made it to the semifinals, I think, last year, and Empire's got a good squad this year. So we want to get all those mistakes and errors cleaned up before we play those guys in our district schedule.
And now you guys are eight-man, correct? Would that make more Warrika eight-man, I guess, if they're in your district? How did they win 64-0 last night? Isn't there a mercy rule or something?
There is a mercy rule after half. So if you scored 100 points prior to the halftime buzzer going off, you could beat somebody 100-0. So, you know, it's 45 points after half.
Gotcha. And that makes me look bad because I did eight-man football all year last year, but I guess I forgot that one. I'm not used to this 11-man stuff. All right, so you guys are at Fox, going up Carter County just a little bit. How do you prepare for the Fox Foxes as they're 0-2 to start the season?
You know, that's a little bit deceiving. They've played a pretty good schedule so far. Going out to Snyder is not an easy task for anybody. Coach Phelps and his staff do a great job. He's been a really good mentor to me. Coming into 8-man from 11-man, it's a really different game, and there's no
sling basketball on turf.
Yeah, it's wide open, but you know, Fox is going to present a challenge. They're really competitive. They've got a lot of talent. You know, we're going to rely on our kids getting better this week. I was really really pleased with Josh Grace. We found a linebacker last night, sophomore kid, big kid. Logan Schaff again played pretty well in the run game. Luke Coney had a good night. So we're hoping those kids continue to piece together good practices, and hopefully it'll show up again Friday night against Fox at their place.
Coach, good luck next Friday against Fox. We'll talk to you, of course, again next Saturday morning during the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. And congratulations on starting the season 3-0. And I think that's going to wrap it up here for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Coach, hang around. I was going to ask you a couple questions off the mic here. But we'd like to thank Sherwin-Williams, Ringling Depot, Daniel Nebel Farmers Insurance Agency, and Advanced Family Dentistry once again. And also thanks to the amazing Kurt Mays back at the studio running the board for us. Now, beginning of the 9 o'clock hour, you need to go out to the Ardmore Farmers Market. Our owner, Bill Countryman, is going to be out there. He's got some goodies, maybe even some tickets. Go see him today. And I'm going to go ahead and sign off. We'll talk to you two Saturdays from now, from 97.7 The Big Station.